So we will move forward then for our first discussion agenda item. Let me announce that this is the court construction update, court facilities. And I want to let you know that we will have here presenting in this panel. And as I say your name, would you please do a little wave so we can figure out where you're sitting. And first we have, and we thank for being here, Mr. Patrick J. Morris, the Mayor, City of San Bernardino, also former CJA President and former Judicial Council Member. Thank you. Mr. Douglas Emerson, Member of the Hollister City Council. Thank you for being here. Also, former Mayor, City of Hollister, and the Member of the Project Advisory Group. We also have Mr. Tom Stollard, City Council, from Woodland.
Right here.
Good morning. We also have Mr. Eric Peterson from Hawkins, Delafield, and Wood. And Ron Overholt, thank you. Good morning. We'll be facilitating. Thank you very much. And we also have Lee Willoughby.
Thank you, Chief Justice and members of the council. As the chief mentioned in her opening comments, she's been traveling the state for a variety of functions and activities and speeches and whatnot. Probably the most exciting and pleasant of those has been groundbreakings and ribbon cuttings of facilities that have been long awaited in our communities and in our courts for many, many years. We currently have 52 capital projects that are underway now, 34 projects that are in site selection and acquisition, 14 are in design, and 3 in construction. We expect to start construction on 6 more projects this year. They're dependent on a bond issue by the state treasurer, and ordinarily there's a spring bond sale and a fall bond sale, and because of the state budget process and issue, the spring bond sale has been delayed, and so we've been continuing to follow that and are hopeful that there will be a spring bond sale. The revenue bonds that are supporting these projects are supported by dedicated revenue and are not subject to the general fund, so there wouldn't be a real impact on the state budget, although all of the state's budget is sort of in play at the moment. So the bonds have not been issued at this point. The 6 that are scheduled to start this year include San Bernardino, San Benito, Hollister, Calaveras, San Andreas, Tulare, Porterville, and Riverside, Banning. So those projects are shovel-ready, ready to go. Just as soon as we have the bond issue, we'll be ready to start with those. One of the groundbreakings that the chief attended a couple of weeks ago was the groundbreaking at the Long Beach Courthouse project, which has been a long-awaited project. And any of you who have been to the Long Beach Courthouse know how desperate that courthouse is, along with these other communities. But Long Beach has sort of been our poster child in terms of the elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor, which is where most of the people that come to court go in terms of the cafeteria, the jury assembly room, and a variety of other things. It created some real issues there, not to mention just the general deteriorating condition of that courthouse. So it's very exciting for both the city of Long Beach, the county of Los Angeles, and for the Judicial Council and AOC to be able to break ground on that spectacular project that is now ready to go. What I would like to do first is show a video clip from that groundbreaking in Long Beach to give you a sense of the community spirit that's there.
The new courthouse that's planned for downtown Long Beach took a major step forward with a ceremonial groundbreaking. The project's unique financing arrangement is attracting attention from all over the country. It's called a performance-based infrastructure project. A private sector consortium will shoulder the investment and the risk of designing, building, financing, operating, and maintaining the courthouse complex. No cost to the state up front, and the administrative office of the courts owns it immediately. The AOC will start making payments after move-in, and then for the next 35 years. It's a cost-effective arrangement for taxpayers.
This is the first California courthouse to be built using a new model of financing, a private-public partnership that harnesses the innovation and efficiency of the private sector to accomplish a large-scale public works project.
Which will include 31 courtrooms with room for expansion. The footprint is L-shaped, one section with four stories, one with five stories. There will also be space for county justice partners and compatible commercial tenants. 531,000 square feet in all on 6 acres right downtown. It replaces the dilapidated courthouse built in 1959, identified as one of the worst in the state. The building project also includes upgrading a nearby parking structure.
When the renovation and expansion of this building is complete, there will be more than 900 parking places,
many more than currently available. The celebration this day was to commemorate the achievements that this project represents.
The judicial branch is always taking innovative leadership ideas and executing them to make for better models in the state of California. So when you think about leadership with the help of the legislature and the executive branch, the judicial branch is able to move forward and try things in new ways.
This courthouse complex also represents the productive cooperation among the court, city, county, redevelopment agency, judicial council, and the administrative office of the courts.
But this really does demonstrate that government does work on behalf of the public that it serves, that the different levels and areas of government come together in a great partnership.
The Judicial Council unanimously approved naming the new courthouse for former California Governor George Duke Manchin for his remarkable 23 years of public service. And when strong gusts of wind threatened to blow away the tent,
holy smoke,
the mayor of Long Beach steadied the pole. Governor Duke Manchin said he never dreamed this day would come.
This new courthouse will add to the stature of this great city of Long Beach. I also hope that it will inspire many young people to work to preserve our hard-earned freedoms by recognizing that the name of a very ordinary man can be carried on such an extraordinary courthouse. I'm deeply honored by this recognition. Thank you all very much.
The Governor George Duke Manchin Courthouse is scheduled for completion in the fall of 2013. I'm Leanne Kozak reporting in Long Beach for California Post News.
It was truly probably more exciting than we had hoped it would be when the tent started moving around. And one of our senators and county leaders and the mayor of Long Beach got up along with some of our staff to hold the poles down to try to keep it from falling on the governor and the chief justice. But it was quite an event, but it was very, very exciting. We have Eric Peterson from Hawkins, Delafield, and Wood, who is here after our distinguished city officials speak about the projects in their communities, along with John Pirog, who is here, who is worked so diligently on the Long Beach project to talk a little bit about its unique aspects to it. So first I'd like to introduce Mayor Pat Morris, who former judge, who, matter of fact, when he signed in out front today, he said, I think I'll sign in as former judge. And proudly we invite him back. He was a member of our council in the early 90s, president of CJA, along with several of our other members. And is currently the mayor of San Bernardino and has been very important with this project.
There are many days when I wonder why I left the bench and took this job 5 years ago. And I protest the idea that Long Beach is the poster child of a bad place to deliver justice. Take a look at the seal in the back of the room. You'll see the date 1926 when this council was formed. Well, that was the date that we built our courthouse in our city. Keith Davis can testify to the fact that it was built as a county government center with two courtrooms at the time and all kinds of other ancillary services, and over the last 85 years was altered to accommodate some 15 courtrooms, all marginal in their structure, When I was presiding judge on the third floor, this place was declared to be so seismically unsafe that I had a plan. If the big one came, and we're right in the middle of the San Andreas Fault, so there's a tree outside my window. I was going to leap from my chamber's window into this great oak tree, and my children would have a father. Anyway, that courthouse was retrofitted again with the construction of a T-wing in 59 to seven makeshift courtrooms in the T-wing. So we had justice delivered in a place where we had constant complaints from jurors, litigants, lawyers, and colleagues who said, this place sucks.
In the vernacular.
We needed a new place to deliver justice, a majestic and beautifully designed courthouse, which really speaks to the community, and I think that's an important thing to understand, that a courthouse testifies that this is where justice is administered. Its physical beauty actually symbolizes the elevated status of the law, the rule of law in this nation. And we should do, as you are now doing in these projects, do our very best to design and to build courthouses that give the courts the stature that they deserve in the government of this nation and this state. So it was a delight to join the Chief Justice and Bill Vickery and our presiding judge and Keith and others at the a day in March when we broke ground on this new beautiful design. And what a design. I hope you've seen the renderings of our new courthouse. It rises from a three-story podium lobby to a magnificent urban tower that really identifies our city's urban skyline. Lee Willoughby, Pearl Freeman, and all of the design and construction team were there beside us. Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill led us through a design charrette that helped us design this beautiful new 350,000 square foot structure. That will beautify our courts and dignify our profession. The entire north side is a wall of glass where the public can see in to this great structure, see our business at work, and those in the courts can see the beautiful range of mountains that reside north of this great court facility. What was particularly important to me as a mayor, and for these last 5 years I've been working on a thing called Sustainable San Bernardino to make our city a more sustainable environment. We have a number of great projects in progress to that end, solarizing all of our city's assets, building a multimodal transit center within a block and a half of this great court center where we'll have all the neighborhood buses, a new $200 million rapid transit bus system, lights there, a new light rail system to neighboring Redlands. The Metrolink station will come out to that location, and we'll have a station there for the High Speed Rail Authority when that comes in the year 2200.
We'll be there.
Our great grandchildren will ride the high speed rail to our court. Anyway, the folks here who worked with us helped us design a sustainable, beautiful facility. It's quite creative. The lower podium is a turf roof that'll allow us to recycle the rainfall and reuse that water. The whole north face is a series of glass walls that will bring in light but to keep out the heat. We hope and pray that with all these sustainable features in this court structure, we'll have a U.S. Green Council LEED certified, at least silver, perhaps gold facility, which should make us all proud that we're doing things in a sustainable way as a third branch. I want to tell you about the impact economically. Now, our city and our county has been hit massively by this downturn that you've been discussing here at this table today. We have an 18% unemployment rate in our city. We're a blue-collar city, and our economy is dependent upon logistics out of the harbors at Long Beach and L.A., and construction, largely. And when everything went down the tubes or fell off the cliff, we suffered massively with foreclosures and unemployment. This particular project will give us 2,500 good-paying jobs for the next 2 years to build this great structure. It'll employ, when built, between 400 and 500 professionals inside. So it's a great economic boon to our city in multiple ways. I'm going to tell you just a very quick story about the loss of a legal culture that happened when I was on the bench and indeed when I was presiding judge. Way back in the 80s when I was the PJ of our court system, an interesting thing happened. Our friends from nearby Riverside came over and had a conversation with our Court of Appeals in 1929 when we formed the second district, second division of the district. The Court of Appeals is located right down the street from our historic courthouse. From 29 on until the mid-80s, that's where they called home. The bankruptcy courts were also located just down the street from the courthouse. We had an entire court complex. Our downtown was vibrant with law firms and ancillary services provided to lawyers and their needs. When Senator Presley and colleagues from Riverside and a good lawyer group from that community came over and seduced away our Court of Appeals and the bankruptcy court, which they did, we lost a tremendous amount of our downtown economy. It went fallow. And Riverside was made healthier in downtown by the construction of a new Court of Appeals building, a bankruptcy court, and I knew that what would follow would be the federal district court, and indeed it did. We lost them all in the 80s. I, at the time, called my local mayor, Robert Holcomb, and I called my senators and my assembly people and said, don't let this happen. But it happened. So this event, to bring back this great new 11-story, 350,000-square-foot, beautiful, sustainable structure with 36 courtrooms is going to bring back, I believe, to our downtown a vibrant economy. Contrast what happens in courthouses to the local economy compared to what happens with Caltrans. I've got an 11-story Caltrans building right next door to me. 1,200 people occupy that every day. They never leave their offices. They drive in to their multi-story parking structure. They go to work, all these good engineers and draftsmen, and they eat their lunch at their desks, and they never emerge until 5 o'clock, and then they drive home. Now, that's not good for restaurants and downtown shops. In courthouses, by George, people move and shake. They're in and out of there. You have a lot of things happening. Lawyers, well-paid lawyers, like to eat lunch. And jurors like to shop. And litigants like to commiserate around the table. And that's going to happen again downtown with this new facility. So I'm delighted to be here to thank you all. I'm in your debt for having moved this. We did this. When I came into this office, I knew this was a project. I had a lot of ideas as to how to move this city ahead from public safety to economic development. But this was one I particularly wanted to talk to Bill about and Ron George about. And so I called my first week in office. I called Ron and I said, let's make a deal. Just like Riverside made a deal years ago and took our courts away, I said, let's make a deal and bring the courts back. We made our case. I said, I've got a piece of property for you. I'll give to you free. The old Caltrans building, the old property next to the historic courthouse, we gave it to the state. The county was about to retrofit the old T-wing of the historic courthouse and spend $10 million to do that. And I said, I'm going to go to the county board and convince them not to spend those dollars on that old courthouse, but to give that to the state as well as a chum for this court structure. And the county agreed, and they gave the dollars to the state to help in the early design phases of this this job. We agreed to waive all our city fees, to do all the underground utility removals, to make this case site ready for construction. And with those good advances, we made a deal, a good collaboration, which is going to help bring back a vibrant legal community to our downtown. I've talked far too long, but thank you very much, Ron. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Chief. And thank Ron George also, your predecessor.
Thank you. Well, thank you. We could listen to you all day. Great, great stories, and we appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Mr. Doug Emerson is a member of the Hollister City Council, San Benito County, and Mayor Emeritus is with us. Hollister presented a number of challenges. The ground literally shakes there a lot, and so finding a location for the courthouse was a challenge, and lively debate and interaction that took place in terms of finding the site for that courthouse, and I think it ended up in the right place, but we're very excited. This is a courthouse that desperately needs to be replaced also.
Thank you. Good morning. On behalf of the City of Hollister, the Superior Court, and San Benito community, I'd like to thank the Chief Justice for the opportunity to address the Council this morning. I'd like to begin by providing the Council with a concise summary of our project status. With the guidance of the AOC and OCCM, our project has concluded the site selection phase, the design phase, and the bid phase. As well, on February 28th, the court hosted a very successful groundbreaking ceremony in Hollister that was graciously attended by the Chief Justice. Currently, we are anxiously awaiting the start of construction. Despite the brevity of this summary, the depth of the project's benefit to our community has been profound and will continue to resonate long after construction has completed. First and foremost, the project will correct significant problems with our existing courthouse. Although considered modern when it was constructed in 62, it doesn't meet current standards for judicial services. Specifically, the existing courthouse has several design flaws that pose significant security risks, as well as severely limit the court's ability to provide access to and to expand the current level of service. Second, the location of the new courthouse will serve as an anchor for revitalizing the downtown area. As with many other communities, San Benito County is struggling economically, having the third highest unemployment rate in the state. Consequently, the project's location to promote an economic resurgence in downtown Hollister, which in turn will expand to the balance of the community. Third, the project will result in an infusion of millions of dollars into our community. It's important to note that this includes the potential of millions of dollars going directly to local contractors, which expands the economic impact exponentially. Finally, the community has expanded upon existing relationships and established new relationships in order to advance this project. Although it hasn't been easy at times, it's somewhat amazing to reflect on how many different agencies, municipalities, community groups, professions, and different viewpoints have agreed to meet in the middle for this project to be shovel-ready. As an example, there was a strong desire by the community to build a courthouse on the old Fremont School site in the center of downtown. There were also very valid concerns by the AOC regarding the seismic conditions of that site. As a resolution, the City of Hollister's Redevelopment Agency agreed to fund trenching and the geological work to determine the status of the seismic ability. The AOC, in turn, allowed the city extra time to complete that work. So on behalf of the community, please allow me to express my sincere gratitude for your stewardship in this project. As well, please allow me to conclude by respectfully urging that a solution to the delay in our project, as well as other shovel-ready projects, be initiated as soon as possible. I realize a simple comment belies the complexity of the situation, but it's our hope that all avenues of alternatives will be explored in order to eliminate the delay. Once again, thank you for allowing me to address you.
Thank you, Mr. Emerson. And during our issues meeting yesterday, Judge Pines raised the issue of what happens if there are disagreements or other issues that come up in the life of these projects. And I think this one is a prime example of where we had two competing sites. Part of the community favored the jail site or the airport site. Others favored the downtown site. And the process that we went through resulted in an agreement among all the parties that this is the best site. If we can build it and deal with the seismic issues, that was where it best went. And so we're very pleased and very proud of that process of collaboration. Mr. Tom Stollard is a city council member for the city of Woodland in Yolo County. He was a former member of the Yolo County Board of Supervisors and very active in the State Association of County Supervisors. The project in Woodland also has gone through a number of iterations in terms of locations and being able to find the best location, and I think we've also reached a good resolution on that. But please welcome Mr. Stollard.
Thank you, Ron. Again, Tom Stallard's my name from the city of Woodland. We are so grateful to be where we are in this process. Chief, I'm also a proud alumni of the UC Davis School of Law, King Hall, and all of us alums are so proud of you. Congratulations.
Thank you, Tom.
I'd also like to express appreciation to Bill Vickery. In my former role as part of the executive team at CSAC, we met annually with the chief, your predecessor, Ron George. Bill, you've always been so gracious and effective, and you have tremendous respect among those of us in local government. All the best in the future for you.
Thank you very much.
It's taken about 10 years to get us to this particular point, but we couldn't be more happier or more grateful to be where we are at this point. And my view is it represents a government at its best. The coordination necessary was essential, and we've had such wonderful assistance from the Administrative Office of the Courts, particularly from the Office of Courthouse Construction and Management, and I'd particularly like to call out Lee Willoughby, the director, and also Michael Smith, the project manager who has assisted us. One of the things we were able to do in the city of Woodland was utilize our redevelopment agency, because it's pretty hard to find a site for these courthouses. They need to be big, and finding a spot well located is a huge challenge. And part of the consideration is also to make sure we remain close to county facilities. Counties are under fiscal stress like all units of local government. They have DA offices in place. They have public defender offices in place. There's issues involving transport of prisoners. We have found a site that's accommodating many of these objectives and respectful of county resources as well as court resources. But the redevelopment agency was able to put those parcels together. I'm, by the way, joined by our manager, Cynthia Shallot, today, who was a key player in assisting in this. We had a well relocation issue, which was a little complication. But when we went before the State Public Works Board, we were pleased to get a 3-0 vote. And afterwards, they convened and asked themselves the question, how can we expedite this project? There are many reasons for moving it as fast as we can. Frankly, Judge Morris could have been talking about the Yolo County Courthouse, and it's almost like an ugly courthouse contest, or which is the worst courthouse.
That's a good idea.
Ironically, our courthouse is actually beautiful, but it was built before 1920, so it's older than yours, Judge. And it was built for two courtrooms. It currently has 8 courtrooms in it. The hallways were never designed for the volumes of jurors and the like. And the biggest embarrassment we have in Woodland, which occurs 4 times daily, is when prisoners are marched in their striped suits across an unsecured parking lot, across the public street, across the path into the courthouse. And now, I know this isn't unique to Yolo County, but here's a color picture in last Friday's Sacramento Bee. If any of you have seen the movie Brother, Where Art Thou? It's happening in Woodland. I'll pass this around. In any event, we are ready to roll, and we're so glad to have this happening at this time. Judge Moore spoke extensively about the economic benefits, as did my colleague from Hollister, and I can only say the problems are acute in Yolo County as well. Woodland has an unemployment rate of 14% of our 12 million square feet of industrial area space. 4 million, one-third, is empty at this time. Lots of good-paying jobs relying on lots of important materials are going to be called into play in this job. And when we're done, we're looking at an employment base in the courthouse also, which is substantial. I might mention that in that courthouse, not only do we have 8 courtrooms in a courthouse built for two, but we have 6 locations in all servicing our existing 13 courtrooms. So it's terribly inefficient, it's terribly unsafe, and it's not the kind of effectiveness we want to see our courts operating in. We know that we will do better when this is done. We have excellent architects selected, again, with the leadership of our local courthouse construction team, and we are anxious to move forward. And, Chief, we certainly hope we'll have the pleasure of your company on that happy day when we put shovels in the ground and get ready to build this thing. I think that's about what I have to say. We're looking forward to seeing you next Thursday in Davis when you join with the alumni of our law school. Thank you.
Thank you all so much. I think what is clear is that these courthouses are more than about judges and lawyers going to court. It's about communities. It's about jobs. It's about safety that is there, and that we have 52 projects underway from top to bottom of this state is so exciting. And we have a number of them that have already been completed: Pittsburgh, Contra Costa, Portola, and Sierra and Plumas and a number of others, the 4th District Court of Appeal, Division 3 in Santa Ana, and a number of others that have already been completed, all on time, all under budget, has been a very exciting process to be able to experience. The Long Beach Courthouse, as I mentioned, is a unique project in terms of the project delivery model that was there. After I think our first meeting with Governor Schwarzenegger, he indicated he really wanted to see some capital projects involving a public-private partnership, and we indicated we had the perfect location for him. We have a horrible courthouse in Long Beach on Ocean Avenue with harbor views, and we think, you know, a developer would be very happy to have that with a high-rise condo project. We could move the courthouse somewhere else and have this partnership worked out. As it worked out, the housing market went in the tank, or tubed, I think was the term you used. But so that didn't exactly work out. But what did work out was that our current courthouse location is immediately next door to the city hall that the mayor was very, very anxious to have access to be able to expand and rebuild their city hall. And so there was a land swap that took place that was really to the benefit of both the city of Long Beach, the county of Los Angeles, and to the Superior Court of Los Angeles County. When the governor's staff first came to meet with Bill and I on this project, he looked us in the eye and he said, "I'm going to twist you in so many ways like a pretzel like you've never been twisted before." And we said, "Really?" We've been twisted in a lot of ways. But it was the beginning of a very, very interesting process to be able to do this, that this project delivery method had never been done with a courthouse anywhere in the United States. And so to be able to move the process forward was very challenging. Mr. Eric Peterson helped us all along the way and is here to talk a little bit about that delivery method.
Ron, before we do that, I neglected to mention the important contribution of our local bench. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any of us mentioned that, but I'm sure in every case, the local bench was critical. Chief Justice Presiding Judge Chief David Rosenberg and Jim Perry from our courts. Fundamental. I'm sure that was the case in our other communities.
Thank you for that.
Sorry.
I'll mention one more fact. Mm-hmm. I talked about the loss of our Court of Appeals in the 80s. The ultimate irony is that the state had a long-term lease on the Court of Appeals building locally. They then gave it to parole, and it became not a Court of Appeals, but the Regional Parole Center. So right downtown, every week, we entertained several hundred new parolees into our city. Not distinguished justices, but another variety of our species. Anyway, that made it a real challenge for us in those days. And that's the life and times.
So, thank you for that. Absolutely. Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Ron. It's a real honor for us to have, at Hawkins, to have had the opportunity to serve as special counsel to the AOC and the Judicial Council for the new Long Beach Court building. And I'm very pleased and honored. Thank you, Chief, for inviting me here to make this presentation about what distinguishes performance-based infrastructure from the more conventional methods of project delivery. I'd like to just start off by profiling information I think you're pretty familiar with, traditional delivery and construction manager risk delivery, the normal methods used generally in public works contracting and by the AOC for its new court buildings. So it's to form a foundation of comparative understanding for what's been referred to as performance-based infrastructure, or I like to call it integrated project delivery. With traditional delivery, of course, generally referred to as design, bid, build, this is low-bid contracting that we're all familiar with. Two separate contracts, one for construction, one for design. Design has to be fully completed before construction is bid. The owner, AOC, Judicial Council, has full control over the design. And there's intense competition in the market for on one selection factor, that's price and price only. And that delivery method is often legally mandated to avoid favoritism in contractor selection. It's a very deep market in design firms and the construction firms. It's a prevalent method, we all know, for delivering public works infrastructure. It's well understood and obviously demonstrated over time successfully. There are some limitations with the traditional design, bid, build delivery. on the construction side is not qualifications based, and you may well get a contractor who's not the best qualified. As I said, bid construction price is the only selection factor, a significant choice in the competition. Design bid build tends to be a little slower and higher cost in comparison to the other project delivery methods. And as we all know, it can be dispute prone, particularly over change orders that are necessary as the project moves forward. Construction manager at risk is similar to design bid build in that there are still two separate contracts, one contract for design and one for construction or construction management. The idea of a qualifications-based selection, or QBS, is introduced in the selection of the construction contractor or construction manager, so that involves a more competitive qualifications assembly of the project team. That construction manager can and does provide design phase assistance, which you don't ordinarily see with low-bid, design-bid-build contracting, and can provide a higher level of confidence in the projected cost estimates for the project. Construction manager at risk is taking on more and more usage throughout the country and in California, and it is the OCCM's preferred method at this point. Because it's sequential, design and then build, there are still issues in terms of the length of schedule to completion of the project. So with that kind of background review, let me turn to the main focus of my presentation, which is on integrated delivery. In integrated delivery, you have a single contract for five elements: design, build, finance, operate, and maintain. The shorthand for that in the delivery project delivery method business is DBFO, design, build, finance, operate. And this method of combining all these elements of the project into a single integrated delivery and contract, it's also called performance-based infrastructure or public-private partnerships. And as I said, there is a single contract for all five elements of the project, forcing a collaborative approach among all of the participants. Under this method, in a way that's similar to design-build contracting, it's a competitive proposal process. Conceptual designs are prepared by the owner to the 10 or 20% level. Competitive proposals are received. The design occurs at the full completion of the design occurs after the contract is awarded. This method does allow substantial owner control. The only thing that's left not to the owner's control is the various details of the completed design, and that's similar to design-build contracting. On the competitive front, there is intense competition over delivering the project that has the best value. And in contrast to the design, bid, build, or CMAR methods, the competition is not just over the price of the asset, but what the asset actually is, what its technical merit is, and what's the long-term life cycle maintenance and operational aspects of the project. Design, build, finance, operate contracting is widely used internationally, particularly in the UK and Canada and Australia, where it's, in fact, in many jurisdictions, it is the preferred project delivery method. If you go to British Columbia, for example, you have to approve that design, build, finance, operate is not the best method. It is the default method because they've had such great success with it. Here is why that is the case, and particularly for larger projects involving the opportunity for competitive innovation. As I said, it doesn't allow a competitive selection based on qualifications. In the case of the new Long Beach Court building, for example, the winning team consisted of AECOM on the design side, Clark Design Build as a design builder on the construction side, Johnson Controls on the long-term facilities management side of the team, and Meridium Infrastructure, which is a well-known, well-respected international infrastructure development company. All very highly qualified participants on their team. Design, build, finance, operate expedites project delivery in that all these elements are planned at once and then executed on a concurrent basis rather than on a sequential basis. In particular, it creates a life cycle focus on the project, particularly on the capital maintenance side in designing and building the project. significant consideration is given to the long-term operational and maintenance aspects of the project. So life cycle focus, very significant in DBFO contracting, even more so than in traditional or CMAR. It cuts the design build costs, and it cuts the facilities management costs through the competitive process. It transfers performance risk. If there are performance failures of the asset, the fee paid to the DBFO contractor, the project company, is lessened. It promotes innovation because all of these competitive teams have to work together to come up with the optimal design, construction, operation, and maintenance solution to the particular court building challenge that's presented to them in the request for proposals process. And finally, as I mentioned, you have a single point of responsibility for all those aspects. The AOC has a contract with one entity and does not face the risk of finger pointing between the various participants if there's an issue in the in any aspect of the project. The source of these comparative advantages, the sources are as follows. You have integrated asset development and delivery. These teams work together to cooperatively choose to participate in a competitive proposal process. They self-select each other, so they know they're dependent upon their partner. They select a good, reliable partner that they know and can work together. Their business interests are aligned totally in winning the competition to get the award for the contract and in actually executing the project. And so you have collaboration across all phases of the project, collaboration between the actual designer, the actual builder, the actual operator, and the actual maintainer of the project, as well as the infrastructure developer. And you also have, as I said, competition among these various teams to secure the work and execute it. And it is a negotiated transaction in which the AOC, or the owner, can talk through every aspect of the contract so that the chances of there being disagreements or misunderstandings are quite limited. One of the major advantages of this delivery method, as I mentioned, is you learn about the actual construction price of the project much earlier in the process than you do under the other delivery methods, because you are getting a price based only on a 20 or 30% design. And they will design the project to the level they need to give you the actual definitive design build price for the project. Under design build, design bid build, and CMAR, you know the project price later in the process. And there is a shorter time to completion as well, because as I mentioned, this work occurs concurrently, not sequentially. There's a lot of risk transfer involved, and of course, risk means money. Under design build, design bid, design build, and design and build finance operate methods of delivery, you're transferring the design liability for the project to the company. So if there are design liability issues, they are borne by the DBFO project company, not by the owner. The completion risk for delay and efficacy of the project is transferred under this project agreement. The risk of cost overruns, either design build or O&M, is transferred to the contractor as well as the disputes between the various participants. They have to work that out among themselves. And finally, importantly, the risk of capital maintenance is transferred. The service fee payable under the project agreement includes the responsibility to perform long-term, not only ordinary maintenance, but capital maintenance over a 35-year period. And that's all part of the pricing. Risks are retained under any delivery method include the following: changes in law, uninsured force majeure events, and so forth. Environmental conditions on the site, these are uncontrollable risks, and they're not transferred. And the risk of long-term inflation is also not transferred, but the indexes are applied to the service fee, a portion of it relating to the O&M. So you're protected. It's a fixed-price contract as far as the facilities management costs go, and the contractor's only allowed indexed inflation. Just a note on the financing itself, because that's one of the unique aspects of it. This is called project finance for public infrastructure. The company forms a special purpose, single purpose entity. That entity issues the debt, and that debt is not recourse either to the state or to any large private corporation. It's just recourse to the assets of the project, which consists primarily of the design, build, finance, operate project agreement. And as was mentioned in the very well-done video that we saw earlier, the AOC makes no payments toward construction at all. So the service payment obligations that you have don't commence until the work is actually done. And if it's late, the interest that accrues on the debt is for the accounts of the project company, not for the AOC. So service fee is payable only after the facility is actually completed. And if there are performance issues with this asset over time, the contract provides for deductions for those elements of non-performance, and that's why it's called performance-based contracting. And so the equity invested in the project by Meridiam and the debt lent by the six European banks that finance this, both of those financing parties are at risk for the performance of the asset. And that is generally seen as providing a very significant incentive for them to assure the performance of the designer, the builder, and the facilities manager. There are some limitations, of course. Private project financing of public infrastructure involves bank lending, and that bank lending is taxable, and it carries a higher rate of interest. And because it's new to the state, there is more time and focus put on legislative authorization for these types of transactions and for approvals by the other branches of government because of the newness of the approach. Because it's a bank financing in a new area, is also we found there's a narrower market for the debt in contrast to the general municipal bond market for tax-exempt state debt. Finally, because all these elements are combined in one contract, it's definitely the case that there's greater transactional complexity here, and that has to be accounted for in the planning for these alternative delivery considerations. The companies involved in the project, I should note, emphasize these elements of concern, which were ultimately overcome. Obviously, anybody making a loan that involves state payments is looking at the state credit. That's a universal concern among all similarly situated lenders. The service fees we made subject to annual appropriation to make sure that our payments were not considered state debt. And so they wanted to make sure that there was a high likelihood that the state would appropriate and pay the service fee. And they made the determination after some excellent presentations by senior management at AOC that this project was truly essential to the Judicial Council, and there would be no doubt that the legislature would appropriate for the services of this court building. It is publicly owned, even though it's privately financed. If the state, for some reason, didn't appropriate, they would have the right to evict the state and use the project for other purposes. But once the lease ended, the site lease ended, the project would revert to the state. And their final concern was, because this was a new project, a new approach, would there be an award? They had invested substantial sums, and they were concerned about whether or not anyone would get a contract. And I think it was a great credit to everybody involved in the state side, as well as on the project proponent side, that things were able to come together and a contract was successfully awarded in December. Just a few more slides here. This entire transaction does have a clear statutory basis in the 2002 Trial Court Facilities Act, and in particular the 2007 Budget Act, which authorized required the consideration of alternative project delivery, P3 delivery, for the Long Beach project. The law talked about performance expectations and benchmark criteria, which were very carefully studied, and the determination was made that these criteria were met for this project. The law required the involvement of the Department of Finance, JLBC, and the legislature, fully involved throughout the process. And as I said before, we wanted to make sure that this was a service contract, not a debt of the state, and we put a lot of work in the contract to make sure that was the case. If the service is not provided, payments are not made, and it's not a debt. So, concluding slide here, just a few takeaways. I want to emphasize that this method, while new to the AOC and new to California, is very well established and it's proven internationally as a very successful means of delivering complex, large budget infrastructure. As was mentioned in the video, this project has already garnered a lot of acclaim around the country for the excellent work that you've done here in making it happen. And performance-based infrastructure is useful where speed of delivery is a very significant concern. Where you want to focus on life cycle costs and are interested in transferring risk appropriately, and was an opportunity for competitive innovation in the process. So congratulations to you all. This is an excellent effort on your part, and I'm really confident that it will achieve the results that you've been looking for and expecting here. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. We'll be evaluating this method as we go along, since it is the first courthouse in the nation to be built under this delivery method, and so we'll be evaluating that process and then evaluating the operation of the facility to see if this is a method that we would want to replicate in other locations in the process. So we have 52 capital projects underway. Average construction cost of our courthouses is $587 per square foot. I know there's been some information wildly higher and different than that. $587 per square foot is the average cost of construction, which is comparable with other facilities of this nature. And each of the projects that we've built thus far and delivered have been on time and under budget, so we're very proud of that fact. I really want to thank our local officials for being here today and sharing some of their perspective, and Mr. Peterson and Chief Justice, that concludes our presentation. We'd be happy to take any questions or comments.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments on this?
I just wanted to make one observation. Each of these projects obviously involve a lot of people, local officials, local court leaders and staff and bar members and others to make it happen, but they all require somebody to coordinate and provide the leadership and keep the issues in front of everybody and bring people together. And we have fabulous project directors in Lee Willoughby Shop doing this, and I would note in particular on the Long Beach initiative, which has been from the very beginning a very high profile and high risk endeavor to undertake this with the partnership with both the governor's office and the legislature in trying this new approach. And in that case, Clifford Ham, seated at the back, who was the project director on this, deserves special recognition for the tremendous time and effort that he invested in keeping this alive and moving and trying to see that the vision and the potential that is represented by this new or different approach, at least in our country, on this effort, that was given an opportunity. So, Clifford, thank you for your great work on this.
Thank you. And I only want to point out that I thank you for coming here today and sharing the enthusiasm and the collaboration. I say that because when you come and talk about your different projects, what you bring to council is a little bit of the flavor that Bill, Ron, and I, and Sheila, and Chris Patton have experienced only times a couple of hundred, because when we've gone to San Bernardino or Hollister, when we hear about Woodland in Long Beach, we get complete and total enthusiasm from every elected member, every citizen there about these projects. And I also want to thank you particularly, Eric, because I spoke with you about this partnership and the background and your work as the lawyer in the contract. And I really was happy that you were able to come here and share the background and your experience with the AOC and the Judicial Council in this project. Thank you very much.
I'm honored, Chief Justice. Thank you very much.